Hey guys, welcome to Urban Engine Podcast. I'm Matt McClellan. I'm here with Tony. Why are you laughing at me?
We're really close up on the mics today.
They are. I'm over here looking at them.
It's just really funny. Okay,
so we are joined today by Cole Rickles. Cole, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
We've been actually trying to get Cole on the podcast for a little while, and thankfully his schedule allowed as we had some other scheduled conflicts. But man, excited to have you. You're always an enthusiastic voice and opinion. And we got Tony Eberhardt here as well.
Hey, what's up, guys? Cole, we're so excited you're here today. Thanks for making the time.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
So one of the topics that Tony was mentioning last week that we wanted to cover for you guys is grit and what that really means. And we were just discussing a little bit before the podcast of kind of the difference in like your grit and coming across the hard things and, you know, what grit and perseverance really mean. Cole, what is your idea of grit? What does that mean to you?
So I kind of think of grit of what will I be happier doing in the future? And quite often that doesn't mean taking the easier route now. So, you know, your average Saturday, it is easier to just sit there and like watch Netflix, let's say. But you're going to be more long-term satisfied with actually not sitting there watching. And long-term, not even being like literally 5 years from now, like that night, when you look back on, this was a good Saturday, is it going to be doing something that was maybe a little bit more productive or fulfilling than just sitting there and watching Netflix? So I think grit is not choosing the easier path, because long term you're actually going to be more satisfied with the decision that you made. And it doesn't mean also like just choosing the hard thing because, oh, I enjoy a difficulty. Like there's got to be a reason for that. So the grit a whole lot is, why are you doing this? And so grit comes into realizing this is going to be a little bit more difficult, but long term I'm going to be happier because I did this. And even though it's going to be harder, I'm going to stick with it. So sticking with it.
Yeah. And so from me, I hear that you're just like, I mean, and Cole, I know this about you. You're super disciplined about your work schedule and how you spend your time. And so much of that has to do with, I understand that I'm going to hold myself accountable to getting this work done and it's going to be hard. But I know that if I put the work in now, I'm going to be able to enjoy that later and I'm going to be more gratified, more fulfilled in it. And so I think that, you know, to our listeners, the reason why we have Cole on the show for this is because the startup community is really excited about all of the work that Cole is doing. He's done a couple startups in the past, and he's building a couple right now that are pretty exciting. And he stands out to us as stakeholders throughout the startup ecosystem as somebody who has a lot of grit, and, you know, think that translates to your discipline and how hard you've been working at what you're building, Cole. I think your definition is dead on. What do you think, Matt? What's grit?
You know, when I think about grit, I think about visual examples of maybe when I, you know, I'm not very good at like saying like, oh, Matt, you've got a lot of grit, right? But when I really look at that and listen to you guys talking about it, I think about the times where I'm sitting there, maybe I am enjoying Netflix on a Tuesday night at 11 o'clock, but then, you know, girlfriend goes to bed and Matt's got work to do and gets on his laptop at 11:30 when I'm tired, when I'm not in the mood because I've already been disengaged by doing something that was fun or something outside of the work, but I know that I have things that have to be done. And that's opening up the laptop at that time when you don't feel like it and getting it done. And so sitting down, writing the emails, you know, sending the orders off, crunching the numbers, whatever that takes that has to be done, and not thinking twice about it, about, oh, this is so hard, like, I can't believe I have to do this. It's just getting things done, you know, and really remaining, you know, we talked about beforehand, mission-focused, right? Because at the end of the day, I've got an end goal, or at least something I'm working towards, right? And so all of the steps that need to get there and just doing them almost autonomously without thinking about, you know, all the hardships that come a part of it, right, or getting distracted from it. I guess to me, that is my definition of grit, is just really going after it and just getting the things done, like walking that hard road, you know?
Yeah, and I think, too, I think, Matt, you would be able to identify grit in someone else a lot easier than you would identify it within yourself, which seems to be consistent with the definition of grit, because those of us or those that have it seem to just be focused on using their own grit to achieve their goal. I almost feel like it's easier to see it in others. So, like, when I think about what grit means, it's a certain level of resiliency and hard work. It's like the right combination of those two things. It makes me think of that story, the kid's storybook, The Little Engine That Could.
Oh, yeah.
You know that story?
Yeah.
You know, so I think like when you have grit or you recognize someone that has grit, they're on that track. They're enjoying the process of it. And everybody around that person that's just chugging right along, determined to get there, is going, wow, that was really hard that they had to overcome that. Or, wow, like they took that challenge like a pro and just made something of it, you know, didn't let it hold them back. And they're still working really hard. And you can tell when somebody is willing to make those sacrifices and those choices and to be resilient and be hardworking. Usually it's something that I think you can see in someone within the first 30 seconds you hear about what they're working on and how they're making it happen.
Yeah, and you know, it's because I'm in the fitness industry, I do like to equate a lot of things to a workout, right? And I've joked in the past about actually holding job interviews during a workout. And I think one of the big things that what I wanted to determine during that process was an individual's grit, right? Mm-hmm. If they give up when I'm not done with the set and I'm saying there's this many and they stop at 25 of 40, right? Like, all right, well, I know this guy doesn't have a lot of grit, right? He's just willing to put in until it's tough or he feels like he's done and then he's out. That person's going to be a candidate that's out in my book, right? But if the person that pushes through and sticks right with me and goes through the workout, no matter when it hurts or whatever else, like those are the people that I'm going to be like, man, this person has some grit. Like they can really dig in, you know? And I think that's, you know, you see that in people a lot. But yeah, it is a lot easier to recognize from a distance and watch Cole and watch him chugging through the different projects that he's working on and see that like nothing really stops him. Like the kid gets married and still just keeps chugging along with all the work that he's got and handles that like
gets
a pro.
Gets a couple dogs, starts a couple new startups.
Buys a home, you know, and all the while, you know, Tony and I are trying to pull Cole into more and more activities with Urban Engine and asking of his time, and he just handles it and like gets it done.
Yeah, for sure. So, Cole, Matt and I are clearly very inspired by you. Maybe the next topic we'll talk about is essentialism so that you can learn to tell us no when we keep pulling you in more. But so I'm curious, where do you find your grit? Like, where does your grit come from? Why do you think you have so much of it?
And was that something that was more instilled in you by your parents or something you've learned over time? Because unlike a lot of other skills as an entrepreneur, I feel like grit can be taught in some ways.
Yeah. So I do equate it with a whole lot of focus and then going to that essentialism mindset of being able to say no to the other smaller distractions that's coming up. So I listened to How I Built This, and then at the end of those podcasts, they always ask, so was it luck or was it skill that got you here? So I'm not on the other end of the tunnel where it's like, oh, Cole's made it and he's done. And everyone on How I Built This, they're pretty much done. And so they say there is a fine mix of both of those coming in. So as far as was it taught or was it, did I naturally have it or whatever? I think there is a mix of it. I was raised my dad is actually an entrepreneur. He grew up doing his own business and he still is doing his own business. Now he's a realtor. He's a music minister at a church. My mom is a piano teacher, teaches out of the house. And so both of them have actually kind of taught, they didn't tell me you've got to go do this. But they also, so part of grit, my first business was a massive failure. I was probably in middle school, and my dad encouraged me one summer, hey, you don't have to go get a job, but you should, like, make a job. And so he had me print out a bunch of posters for pressure washing and had me take them to Hampton Cove. So I grew up in Owens Crossroads, Big Cove area, and then Hampton Cove was a nicer neighborhood, but it was getting older. It had been around 10, 15 years, and so it was, you need to pressure wash your driveways because they're dirty. And so I went around, printed out 250 posters or something like that, like whatever money a middle schooler has at the time, went out and printed out a bunch of posters, taped them all over the mailboxes. So 250, like you'd think you'd get some. Literally got absolutely no phone calls. And like, I was cheap too, man. And they needed it. It was dirty driveways. And so as far as it's been taught, my parents have both been like, pushing me toward that all of my life. And then through college and listening.
Wait, so pause.
Yeah.
It was massive failure. You know that they needed their driveways pressure washed, right?
Yeah.
Why, you know, how did you handle in middle school and how did your parents handle that failure? What did they tell you through that learning experience?
It was a long time ago. I remember that learning lesson, but it also didn't like stop me. It was just a learning lesson of, oh, you think something sounds bulletproof, like they have a need and I have a pressure washer and I'm cheap. And so I'm going to go out and pressure wash their driveway. And so you think like but you can't assume anything.
But and so, you know, I think as a kid, though, it's really easy to get let down. Like, I think any time that, you know, a four-year-old is wanting to do something and I say no, he is super let down. And it shows on his face. He goes, you know, you see that sunk feeling. Is that how you felt when that happened?
I was expecting, so I went out on, I think it was a Saturday, or I don't know, it was summer, so it doesn't really matter what day during summer, I guess. So I went out and put them all out there, and I was expecting the next day. I mean, I had, like, postcards that I was going to write down each customer and their number and their address and stuff like that, and have to go out and do, like, a real quote for them and all this kind of stuff. So I had all that stuff set up, and I remember, I didn't even have a cell phone at this time, so I was using their cell phone. And I remember Dad, like, he kept, like, I'm sure someone's going to call sometime soon, and then we made it through that day, and then we made it through the next few days and made it through the week, and no one ever called. And they were both just, like, surprised. As well, that because their driveways were terrible and they probably still need pressure wash. So they were surprised, but it was also, well, you learn that they actually don't do pressure washing around there. And so it wasn't give up. It was always just, okay, try something else. And so I guess in that my life goal is not to pressure wash a bunch of driveways. So tying it in with grit, it was, I tried that, it failed, and that doesn't mean I'm going to give up as, like, an entrepreneur or give up starting my own business or doing my own thing. It just means, okay, I learned that lesson, and you move on from it. And so there's been a lot of things, like even Striver. So that's a more recent thing that I did. And with Striver, so Striver was the entrepreneurship-themed, like, T-shirts, coffee mugs, and stuff like that. So I ended up selling a fair amount of stuff, but it was so closely tied to, if I don't do anything to that, my goal and my idea was, I'm just going to put this up there, and then people are just going to go buy stuff.
If you build it, they will come. Which is kind of your mentality behind both of these, right? Behind Striver and also the pressure washing business.
So I didn't learn it with the pressure washing. And so what happened with Striver is I built a really good-looking website. I think it was good product.
And it did look good.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think both Tony and Matt, I sent it to both of y'all. I was like, hey, check this out. What could be better about it and stuff like that. But essentially what I learned through that was that is like building a store out in the middle of the desert and then just saying, oh, yeah, well, I've got this really nice store and it's got a bunch of nice products in it. But if no one's driving in the desert and no one's going to stop.
Yeah, let's sell popsicles in the desert because surely somebody wants popsicles in the desert.
It's hot out there, so it makes sense. Like, this is a need out here in the desert, but you've got to bring people into it. And so what I learned with Striver was, just because I've got this store out there, it does not mean that it's going to be bringing people to it. And so it was so closely tied. So it's still out there. I think we just talked about it recently, Matt. The domain is still out there, but it is so closely tied to it. If I'm not marketing for it, you know, no one's coming to it, and it's not a big enough brand that it's doing anything. So I learned there, you've got to build something and market it for it and make sure that there's customers that are, like, ready to go for it. But going with grit, that doesn't mean I'm going to, like, stop or quit because that was I don't even view it as a failure. It was, oh, I've learned something really good here, and next time, whenever the things I'm working on now it's built into it. I didn't learn it with the pressure washing because I did the same thing with Striver.
So pressure washing and Striver are both ventures that you went into that had different outcomes that when you started them were different than kind of how it shook out in the long term. But is there anything that you started and you're working on that you had a challenge presented and you took a challenge and turned it into an iteration on how it could be more successful? Like,
yeah.
Tell us what grit looks like within something that's going well.
Yeah. So me and a couple guys started an Amazon business a few years ago. Well, okay, so I think the first time it came about was about 3 years ago. And so 3 years ago, we had this idea, we read a few books on it, seen a few YouTube videos, and of course everything on the internet seemed so easy, and so we're just like, hey, let's jump in and do this. And so we ordered a whole lot of gun grips that just sell on Amazon. So just sell on Amazon, most people don't know. So it's basically, it's just like selling off of eBay, except Amazon handles a whole lot of the fulfillment a whole lot. And so Amazon still has to approve every product that goes onto their store. And so we found this product that was selling a whole lot on Amazon. The deal I had made with these guys, I was getting my master's at the time. The deal I had made with these guys was, if you guys can kind of do the day-to-day, I'll help oversee it all. But I had saved up some money, and I'll be the one that actually invests in this. So I paid for, like, the LLC. I paid for the gun grips. And so it was, like, I don't know, 250, 500 gun grips. I don't remember how many it was now. But it was a whole lot of gun grips, and it was pretty much most of the money that I had saved up that I dumped into these gun grips. And so they get delivered to my doorstep, and I'm living in this like crappy rental house right next to UAH at the time. And so it was already a wonder that they didn't get stolen, because there was a whole lot of boxes sitting on our front porch. So we get a whole lot of gun grips come in, and I'm not kidding, literally the next day after we go to start filling out the forms to send them into Amazon, Amazon puts out a statement and saying they're not going to be selling in this category anymore. So now I've dumped all of this money into it. The place that I bought it from wholesale does not accept refunds. And so now I'm stuck with 500 gun grips sitting on my front porch as a college rental. And the one place that we were going to sell them on Amazon is saying you can't sell them on Amazon anymore. And so we all kind of freaked out, especially me. These two that I was working with, they didn't really have anything in it but sweat equity. And so I'm like, crap, what are we going to do? So we ended up just, you know, shifting whatever the startup word is for it to eBay. And so we just sold them on eBay, and it wasn't as automated as what Amazon is, but we kind of focused on, all right, let's get this out there. So we did that, took a little break, tried to learn from that, and now we're running this Amazon business, and it's doing really well. And so we now actually are selling on Amazon. We have a bunch of products that are allowed to sell on Amazon. And so if we had quit then, this Amazon business, that's a pretty big business now, would have just stopped. It wouldn't exist anymore.
So when that happened, what were you telling yourself in your mind, right? Because I think a lot of people would have those gun grips, and once they weren't able to sell it on the platform that they thought it was going to do really well, they would chalk that up to failure and say, this business idea, I guess it just isn't going to work. What were you telling yourself in your mind that got you to say, I can still make this work, I can still figure this out?
Yeah, well, it was... We knew, I think he talks about it in the Lean Startup. And whenever you're building a business, it's not like building a rocket, in that there's a very specific way to build this rocket, and the rocket is going to work or it's not going to work. It's going to blow up on the stand kind of thing. It's more like driving your car to work, in that if there's a road closed, you'll just take another road to get there. The end goal still being, you're going to get to, you know, your destination kind of thing.
You know what's strange there, Cole, is you give such a great analogy with taking a different road to a destination, right? And for most of us, that seems commonplace. But when it comes to getting things done and someone running into a roadblock, they forget that there's other roads, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the defining characteristic of a true entrepreneur, is the person who runs into the wall is like, well, what other roads can I take here to get this done, right? Instead of running into the wall and be like, well, I guess that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that really is, that is grit as an entrepreneur. And I think that you've navigated that very well.
Yeah. So it's kind of that focus on the end goal, but being open-minded on the process to get there. Because if you're closed-minded, you got to be closed-minded on the end goal, but you can't be closed-minded on how you're going to get there. Because if you do that, inevitably, like, it's not going to work out. Like, there's going to be bad things that happen, and it's not going to go as smooth as what you're hoping for. So if you're not open-minded enough during the process of, all right, I'll take a right instead of take a left, and then whenever I get up here, I'm going to go left instead of going right. If you don't do that and you're just stuck on it, then you'll get to that roadblock and you'll turn around and you'll go home, and then you're not satisfied.
So these are the things that you're 100% going to run into in any kind of entrepreneurial journey, right? But what about the things that you don't predict that also come down to grit, like the distraction? So you want to commit all these funds to this idea here, right? And so even once you get into that and it doesn't work out the initial, what are the distractions that are coming your way, maybe from your girlfriend or your parents, like, oh, you should put that money here, you could do so much better with this, that keeps you to just put on your blinders and keep rolling towards what you wanted to accomplish rather than taking some of those other routes? Because I'm sure they came your way, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is pride. Like, it's embarrassing to fail. Like, no one enjoys failing anything. I think it's in SpaceX right now. They actually post all of their failures very open. It makes a great YouTube video, but I think it also reminds people launching rockets into space is really hard. And so I think a lot of it is, pride is a big thing, in that if you fail and you are public about it, and so it's kind of like putting your face out there saying, like, with Striver, I tried that and I don't view it as a failure. Probably money-wise, it was a failure, and time-wise, it was definitely a failure. Like, I suck at building websites, and I spent way too much time building this website, and I did not, like, I'm talking like literally probably 10 cents an hour by the time of what I ended up making. But I learned a big lesson from it. And so it's more like a pride thing, that you've got to be okay with failing. And hopefully you've got a support group that is also okay with you failing, And you've got to have enough confidence also to say, I failed at this, but I learned this, and I'm going to leverage that for the next time I'm doing something. Like, if I didn't have, Tony was just talking to me about, like, what is Huntsville and what is Urban Engine, helped a whole lot. I don't feel ashamed to say on a podcast right now, like, I view that as a failure because my family, my wife, my friends, you guys, Urban Engine, like, Huntsville, the community, is just like, okay, well, he tried that and it didn't work, and it's not, Cole's a loser and he doesn't need to come out in public anymore because he didn't do this. It's support. And so I think that helps a whole lot with being able to accept failure because you've got a support group. Like, if I didn't have my wife helping me and supporting me and do this, like, Amber probably did not imagine her first year of marriage with, you know, 3, maybe sometimes 4 nights a week. Cole's not going to be around, but she's supporting me through that, and I wouldn't be able to do this without Amber.
So I think that is an interesting dual factor with the pride that I hadn't really considered. I think that I side with you there that pride is definitely some of that backing of the grit sometimes, right? Because you don't want to be that public failure, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just get in and you do the work because it has to be done regardless. But I think, too, that you also transitioned that pride from being the initial pride and you don't want to hurt that pride in failure to then now you're taking pride in being able to go in the different route, right? And so you just kind of transition that and swap it over. So you're like, I did fail this thing, I can't fail it. And you're like, well, actually, now I can pursue this new path and not fail, right? And so I think that entrepreneurship is almost a series of those roads, right?
Yeah.
Where you're just, you're constantly looking at and then shifting it because you don't want to fail here, right? Or you're going to fail. And then you're just looking, what's the next thing? Because you're going to keep on going. And that's just that underlying grit of any entrepreneur. Tony, what would you say that, would you say pride is a factor in some of your grit for how you act?
For me? Oh, wow. I don't know. Wow. And I feel like put on the spot. Yeah, I think I know, that's part of the process, right, of the podcast. It's always about believing in something for me. And, you know, your example about when you're in the gym and you're trying to, like, get through a set of, you know, exercises or whatever, you're trying to complete your reps, you're believing in yourself. You're telling yourself, I can get through this. I can do this. For me, it's always push-ups. I'm like, I can do 12 push-ups instead of 10 or 15 instead of 12 or whatever. I'm always telling myself, if I can't prove this to myself, who am I going to prove it to? And I think it's the same approach that I have as a professional in whatever capacity I'm working. I'm constantly pushing myself to say, if you can't do this, if this isn't going to be something that you believe in and you're willing to get behind, then, you know, why are you even spending your time on it in the first place? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I think that, you know, that's unique that you have that self-talk. Not everybody has that, but that's why I mentioned earlier, and I kind of want to close with this, that I feel like if you don't have the grit now, you can absolutely build the grit or be taught. And not everybody really wants to be taught grit, right? Because it's not the easy thing. But, you know, back to the scenario of the gym, like a lot of the reason that I love, like a lot of people ask me, are you a coach? You know, do you train people? And I'm like, am I officially a trainer and a coach separately? No. Do I help to coach people in workouts and encourage them? Yes. And that is part of what I love in the fitness industry, specifically in like functional fitness like CrossFit, because when someone is, if I'm finished up with a workout or I'm waiting for the next class and watching people do a workout, I'm going to be that encouraging voice to help them build up that grit. So when they think they can't do the next couple reps or whatever the case may be, I'm like, come on, man. You know, you've got this. You're strong. You're doing just fine. You know, and the more that you tell people that, the more that they do build up that confidence in the fact that they can continue to keep going. And I've seen a lot of people, like, I'll give one example and just a blanket name, you know, Scott that trains with me in the last year has come from somebody who would bail on a workout but when it got hard to someone who grits through it and does the extra reps like you were just talking about. And I think that, you know, watching him earn that grit, you know, and really push through it and learn how to do that has been awesome because it's very encouraging as one of the many people who have helped to encourage and teach him that, but then also just see someone who's now better for it, right? And I think the same thing is a big mission of entrepreneurship, and what Urban Engine does is stands to encourage those people going through it. Your support system of Amber, right? Like you have a lot of grit naturally, Cole, so I don't see you being like, ah, this is hard. Yeah, I just don't think I'm going to do this anymore. But it's great that you have that support system behind you of Amber that is still encouraging you when maybe you're feeling a little weak about it, right?
Yeah.
Because that helps fortify your grit and it helps back you up and feel confident about pushing forward. So
totally.
Yeah.
I think the gym is like the easiest analogy for grit. I was just watching this TED talk about how in the gym, you've got to find this mix of if you are, so your goal is 15 push-ups. It is definitely easier to do 5 push-ups than 15 push-ups. And so it's easier and you will be short-term satisfied when you're like, you know, in the push-up position to quit at 5. Your body will feel better. But then as soon as you're done and then you actually wait 2 minutes, you're like, dang it, I didn't reach my goal of like 15 push-ups. And so then like physically you haven't reached your goal and you haven't gritted through it. And then mentally you're also disappointed in yourself. And if you keep disappointing yourself also, then you're eventually just going, you'll also think like you're a failure. And so if you don't stick with getting to that 15, you're going to physically be weaker. And then mentally you're like, I'm a quitter. And then it's kind of like a cycle after that point.
Yeah. And also like, you know, the gym, we've landed on this gym analogy, and probably is timely too with all of the New Year's resolutioners out there. But, you know, your friends, Scott, Matt, just, it is so hard at times, right? Like sometimes even whenever physically, mentally, regardless of like what circumstance, context you're in, having this moment of like really needing to have grit to get you through something, it can be so hard and it just sucks sometimes. Like it just, like I don't care what the project is, what the business is, like sometimes it's just pure grit. You are just getting through it, right? So when you finally stand up from that set of push-ups or you close that project or that program or you get through that marketing sprint or you have, you know, a crazy like holiday season or whatever it is with your business, at the end of it, it helps so much just to have a friend there, a friendly face on the other side to give you a high five and say you crushed it. You know, I saw you power through that. I know that sucks. I wouldn't want to have had to do it if I were you. Yeah. But you did it, man, gal, whatever. And I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work. So I think that that's a good analogy for what Urban Engine provides in the community. So to our friends out there who are working on something right now, if you're looking for a community of people or it's been a while since you've been out and hung out with us, and we would love to see you again. Come hang out with us at a speaker series event, a startup drinks. We're going to get them rolling again in 2019 in the new year here. And we'd love to hear about what grit means to you.
Yeah, and I think I just really want to encourage all the listeners that this is just more than persevering when we're talking about grit. That is looking at that task list of things to complete. And rather than saying, like, you know, I need to get all 15 done, but I think I'm just going to do 3 now. Going for that 4th or 5th one today, right now, that is that grit and pushing through that that's going to help make you better. And you got better when you did that too. This isn't like, if I do this, I will learn to be better. When you did that action and you completed more than you thought you could or you charged further towards that goal, that is grit. You got better right then.
Yeah, and I think being able to do that and pushing yourself toward those two things that are you feel are holding you back, I think that that's really what separates good from great.
Absolutely. Well, Cole, thank you again so much for joining us today, man. Yeah, I know it was a last-minute ask, but we loved having you on the podcast. We're excited to hopefully have you again here soon. And, guys, we will talk to you later.
Bye.
See y'all.